for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday morning, November the 26th, 1989. Thanksgiving weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the final service of this series of meetings. Mary Dye will be teaching and Rod Johnson will be ministering.
May my people know that I am the Lord thy God. And understand that as the prophets of old did know that I was God. For I did speak to them with a distinction that they could not misunderstand it nor walk away from. So shall I speak to my people in this time. And yea, I say unto you, it is a time of the unveiling of the mystery. And it is a time of the unveiling of those things which were heretofore concealed for this time. And I say unto you, my people, lend an ear, for I shall unveil the truth of the secrets of the events, and I shall unveil before you with an unraveling and a speed that which shall cause us to cry out unto me and say, Lord, 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 we know that thou art the Almighty God. And yea, know this, my hand is upon my people, my hand doth sustain thee, my authority is over all, and I shall have a pure people, I shall have a kingdom, and I shall have a true people. Yea, my hand is upon all things, and the time of bringing truth and purity is at hand, and know that all that shall call upon my name shall be healed, for I shall be known as the mighty healing God. I shall be known as the God that doth deliver. I shall be known as the God that doth bring loose from the bondages of sin. I shall be known as the God that doth calm the storms, and I shall be known as the God that doth allow the destruction of the evil. Yea, yea, I say truly, all shall bow and know that I am God. The time is nigh at hand.
I will sing. In your presence, there is peace.
Course that we've been singing. May every one of us make that not only the desire of our hearts, but we make it a determination that it will be the cry of our hearts. Till His likeness be formed in me. That's a process of a lifetime, at least for me. But I want that to be, I make that the determination of my life, that Jesus be formed in me, that men see Jesus. So we lift Him up, declare that He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. He's the answer to every problem and every situation, if we will allow Him to be. These past few days have been glorious days in the presence of the Lord. And there have been lives that have been changed for only eternity we will know of. And I praise the Lord for the word that's come forth these days. That which I have heard, that the presence of the Lord that has been manifest in our midst in these times. Into His presence we have come. Into His presence we are coming. And into His presence we will come. Amen. Father, we thank You again for the privilege today of coming together, lifting up the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for the nation that we live in, for watching over and protection for us, Lord. And we lift up our president today. We thank You for wisdom and guidance and direction for him. We come against all the pornography and all the abortion and all the pride and the pleasures of life that this nation offers that takes men away from God. Father, we bind and break that dominion over the hearts and lives of men and women. We loose them to magnify and glorify and declare and make Jesus Lord. Father, I thank You today for the privilege we have here and are having of making You Lord of our lives and of this place. Father, I thank You for the finances for this place and for those that come here to minister. And I pray Your anointing and Your blessing over those, Lord, who help make it possible. Now, Father, I thank You for the tithes and the offerings that are given today. And I praise You for it. And I bless those, Lord, who supply it, and that You will multiply unto them and be sufficient to their needs. In Jesus' name, amen. We appreciate all of you that have come and all that's been here and already gone. We appreciate you all. And we pray the blessing of the Lord upon you and His anointing to be with you as you travel. It's like this every time when we say goodbye to everybody. But it is. It's just some more of the family of the Lord. As we gather together, the day of the kingdom is close at hand. And we'll gather once again. And we'll be separated apart, but we'll be together. Because it'll be different. The Lord's preparing a people to prepare the kingdom. Most people don't understand that, but it's serious. There has to be a prepared people for the kingdom. The kingdom just can't be handed over to anybody. You say, oh, Jesus is going to do it. Yes, He's going to be the head of it. But He has to have those who do His bidding. Because there will still be millions or billions of people on the earth and nations. They have to come under the submission of the rulership of the Lord Jesus. And there has to be those who He places in authority in those places of authority to mete out His will. We haven't been taught that, but it will be. And God's looking for people that He can use to rule and reign in the kingdom. Everybody's not going to be able to reign in the kingdom, or it'll be nice that they're there. But I want to be one that God can use in the kingdom as well as today, that He can use for His kingdom to rule and reign in the kingdom with Him. Amen. That's a goal in my heart, and I hope the Lord makes that a goal in every one of your hearts. You see, there has to be somebody over Nicaragua, over San Salvador, over Nigeria. Somebody has to take dominion and destroy all the idols in India. And the idols in the other places of the world, all the Shindu temples, all the Buddhas, they have to be destroyed. They're not just going to be destroyed because the kingdom comes into being. They have to be destroyed because somebody will have them destroyed and have that place of authority to do it. All the pornography has to be destroyed, but there'll be the wisdom and the discernment of the Lord to know where it's at. All has to be destroyed. All the beer signs and cigarette signs have to be taken down off the highways and everywhere. And all the everything that's related to it all has to be destroyed. It has to be removed from the earth. The earth has to be cleansed. And then God will cleanse it once again with fire. But it has to be cleansed. There's a tremendous responsibility to the kingdom. Just think on these things and see what there is to be done. All the drugs have to be eradicated from the face of the earth, and all the source of them has to be eradicated. all the marijuana and the cocaine and the opium and all the other drugs all have to be eradicated, be removed. It's a tremendous responsibility. It's going to fall on somebody's shoulders under the leadership of the Lord Jesus. I want to be available. Amen. Well, we have a school teacher who teaches us every Sunday morning for a little while. Her name's Mary Dye. She's been doing this almost all of her life. She's been a school teacher. That's been her profession, and she's still teaching. And we send these tapes on Sunday morning to many places, and if anybody wants to hear our Sunday morning teaching, why, let us know, and we'll just put you on the mailing list and make another copy and send it to you. So, Mary, come and teach us, not only those that are here today, but those that will hear you by tape.
I have a simple message or lesson to present this morning. I haven't heard it stressed during this series of meetings, but it's just as important as anything I've heard. And it is a blood-bought truth that runs from Genesis to Revelation in the Bible. And I thank God for the privilege of standing before you and speaking some words of encouragement. You know, that's what God has put in my heart 2 years ago. Now, this is not new. I've been feeling this a long time, but what I'm going to tell you is that God gave me a new name 2 years ago. He woke me up one night, and the word Zeruiah was going through my mind and in my heart. Well, I didn't know Zeruiah. I really didn't know that it was a Bible name. But I thought it undoubtedly must be. And so I got up and began searching my Bible dictionary and looking for that word, and I found it. Zeruiah was one of David's sisters, and the word itself means comforter, restorer, and that's what God wants me to be, is a help. Now, I know that there are people who have a burden for the lost. Well, I know the lost need to be saved, and I pray for them. But my burden is for the children of God. And today, the subject that I have chosen comes from Colossians 3:15. Be ye thankful. Praise God. Since this is Thanksgiving Sunday, I thought maybe this would be a good time to talk about being thankful. There are things that we have to be thankful for, and today is a good time to be thankful, right? Now, I know of a family who hangs a big sheet of paper on their wall, goes from the ceiling to the floor, and whenever they think of something that they are thankful for, they write it on that sheet of paper. And they start on Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and they start writing on there everything that they're thankful for, everything that they think of, whether it's a child that can't write and somebody else writes it for them or what, but they get it on there. And if that piece of paper gets full, they roll it up, leave it up there, and put another one on there, fasten it on there, and write. And then when the next Thanksgiving comes around, before they have their dinner, they unroll that piece of paper, and they read off all of those things that throughout the year they have put on there that they have been thankful for. And that encourages them, makes them realize what a wonderful God we serve, how good he has been to us, and how thankful they are that he has been such a wonderful God to us. But you know, some people aren't thankful. They don't ever find anything to be thankful for. Maybe they think they have a good reason for not being thankful. Maybe they've prayed and asked God for certain things, and it wasn't in God's plan that that happened. And they turn sour. And they complain and they grumble. And they think of so many things that are adverse and not to be thankful. I've visited in the nursing home. And I've seen those people in there where you might say one foot in the grave. But they were as hard as nails. They didn't realize how near they were, seemingly, facing eternity without a thanks in their heart. Sad. And I found out, in my experience, that unthankful people are usually grouchy, grumbling. You don't see a very sweet smile and sparkling eyes on people that are grouches. They're always finding something to complain about. They complain about the weather. If it's sun is shining, it's going to burn up their crop. If it's cloudy, the boll weevils are going to eat up their cotton. They grumble at the preacher. They grumble at the saints. They grumble at the singing. They grumble at the praying. Grumble, 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 grumble. But giving thanks unto God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ is what Paul told the Ephesians in 5:20. Give thanks always for all things, not just one thing, for all things. Now I'm going to give you a little lesson right here showing you that you can always find something to give thanks for. The Garfield family was a very close family. He worked in a store downtown in an office. She was just a housewife, taking care of the children, seeing that their clothes were taken care of, their food was prepared right, and they were taken care of in their schoolwork and everything. But they didn't have much time to get out and enjoy nature. They had been raised in the country and they had moved to town. And so they really enjoyed getting out. And so one day it was so they could get out. And so they went out to the beach. They enjoyed walking and moving their feet along in the sand on the beach and throwing rocks in the water and playing with each other. They were having a good time. But little old Nancy, she's just 4 years old. Her little legs got tired. She's dragging along behind. And it was either pick her up and carry her or just poke along. So Mr. Greenfield picked her up, put her on his shoulder and carried her piggyback. He did that for a while, and then she's getting heavy for him. He said, "Nancy, you're sure heavy." And just said, "You must have picked up some rocks and put in your pocket. So you just sure heavy." And then directly he said, "Nancy, you're sure lucky to have me carry you along like this." She said, "Daddy, you're lucky too." And he said, "Well, how am I lucky?" She reached down and whispered in his ear, said, "Daddy, I've got bubblegum in my mouth. And you're lucky that I'm not blowing it in your hair." Now, isn't that something to be thankful for? if you ever run out of anything to be thankful for, just remember that to be thankful that somebody not blowing bubble gum in your hair.
When we have the young people here during the holidays, we generally have quite a few, and especially 4th of July week, we always have a house full. We've had 15, 20 little ones and twice that many bigger ones. But we've had 60, 70, 80 young people here, and Mary tells the little ones a story every day like that, and they just can't wait until the next day for her to come and tell them another story. And so that's how it all started, and that she's telling to the young people, and I just, she just does it every Sunday for us. And there's families around the country that have been here, and they said, we'd like to have that at home. So we just put her on the tape first and then fill the back of it up with whoever speaks and send the tape out. Oh, I didn't harness you up. I got so interested in Mary, I didn't put the harness on you. Well, we've had a wonderful time this morning so far, and the Lord's going to finish it off with Rod, with whatever the Lord's given. Amen.
Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for Sister Di and her ministry. Lord, just bless her. I pray, Lord, that her faith would be so strong that she just walks on. Lord, that death cannot conquer her in any way. That you would restore youth to her body and continue to bring forth the mind of Christ. Lord, we need the simplicity and the beauty of the anointing of that teaching. Now, Lord, bless the other ministries, I pray, too. The music ministries, and for what we saw today, Lord, we thank you for the privilege of entering into the heavenlies. Hallelujah. And bless these people, Lord. Lord, we need to get our spiritual ears on this morning because we desire to be the true body of Christ. Lord, we have been a deceived people for so many years. You're starting to unravel and bring about the truth. We recognize none of us have the told truth, but that the body of Christ coming together, as you bring it together, placing it together according to your order in your time, will finally present the truth by action. And the action will be verified by the power of the Word and the anointing of the Spirit. Lord, we sense with such reality that time coming. And then finally, Lord, we ask that you give us wisdom to redeem the time this morning. There is so much, and we desire to express what you would have. Move in our midst, Lord. Lord, we ask that you would minister and drive away the spirits that would minister to no attention, and to the spirit of slumber and sleep, and to the thoughts of hurrying home and the cares of the world. And Lord, we don't want a religious spirit just because it's Sunday and America worships you on Sunday. We don't want that religious spirit. We just want to come together as the body of Christ to be alert, to have our spirits quickened, consumed by your presence this morning. We surrender to you, Lord. We surrender to you. Unto thee, O Lord, do we lift up our souls. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, for just a second, I appreciate this. And I'm not going to spell. I can't draw pictures either. That's the courtyard of the Old Testament. As the Lord said, establish my tabernacle and surround it with a courtyard. That's the courtyard. In here is the tabernacle. Here's where you get the Holy Spirit and you feast on the presence of God, but it's in part. And then here is the veil that was rent at the cross. And here's where the mercy seat is and the glory of the Lord is.
Okay, now, there's three parts here. One, two, three. There's a man whose name I won't mention because he's gone astray in some of his teachings, but he calls one the sitting room, one the loving room, and one the living room. We need to have that concept of the three. And I want to minister this morning, the Lord willing, on the three coats that Joseph wore, and Babylon and the church. And we'll put it all together. And you'll not have to use a lot of scriptures, but you'll be in a couple, three different books back and forth at different times. And let's go. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Psalm 133, we must establish a principle. And as you're looking for Psalm 133, I will tell you that it is written in Isaiah chapter 10, 27, that the anointing of God breaks the yoke of bondage in our life and in the lives of others who come that desire the truth. It's the anointing of God that drives the demons away. It's that puts the power in the word that sets the devils free from you and I. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and brings the beautiful yoke of Jesus Christ upon us, okay? Now, the second principle I want you to understand, if you'll hear me, please. You are a carefully crafted individual, and I'm repeating from a couple of times ago when we shared on an entirely different subject, but grasp a hold of this truth. You are a unique individual created by Christ, by God. There has never been one like you. And my wife always says, amen, thank you, Lord. And there's never going to be another one like you. And there is no other one like you. Do you ever think of that? You're very specially created by God. You are a unique parcel. And you are molded by God with your features, with your personality, with the wart on your nose and the crookedness in your toes, whatever it might be. You are uniquely molded by God. And you are considered by Him to be a very precious treasure. Do you know why? Because He has chosen this molding and this magnificent working system that He's put together that no man is ever going to be able to duplicate. And He has said, I desire you to carry my anointing, my Holy Spirit, my Christ within you, the hope of glory. I desire to you to carry my presence to the world, to the generation that you're living in. Hallelujah. Now, the second thing that we need to understand is that none of us had a choice as to where we were born, to whom we were born to. Hallelujah. To what day we were going to be born, the time of day, the year. And none of us have a choice as to when we're going to be either translated or go home by the root of death unto the Lord. Okay? Praise be to God. That is totally under the control of God. And when the Lord saw fit to bring you and say it's time for you to be born, He had a straight path, as straight as an arrow would shoot. And at the end of the path is the end of the race. Now, we each have a different course to run, a different length to run. Some of us are going to be sprinters. Some of us are going to be long-distance runners that run at a pace. Some of us are going to be those walkers. I love to watch them as they go down. But we all have been assigned to walk that course at a different pace, okay? And that pace, if we stay on the course without erring, without going astray, will take us right to the bullseye. Now, we miss the bullseye when we start to take control of the course that we want to run, that our life was designed for. And the word sin means to miss the bullseye. That's exactly what it means. So, what the Lord has done is He has designed a body of Christ corporately, made up of a individual body carrying Christ, and He is bringing them to flow together in their called purpose.
in the anointing that they have, in the ministry that every one of us have, or let me bring it to another term, for the purpose that you were created. And He is fitly forming us together as one would put on a glove. Only He says, put on the new man. And in the Word, it's bringing down the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. It's being bathed with the nature of Christ. And it's the Christ in you, which is the fruit of the Spirit coming forth. And the two coming together. And He has carefully designed you to function in this generation. For ye are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation. Help me for this generation. That was my translation, not King James. We have been assigned to this era. So we are carrying around a precious anointing. Okay? Now, Psalm 133. The name Christ means the anointed one. So you have the anointing within you. And how evident is here as we gather together. And each of us flow in our specific ministries. Have you noticed that? I have never been fed like I have been fed at this series of camp meetings. I have grown in the Lord in a way that I can't explain. Not with vast word knowledge, but with my relationship with Jesus. I feel so much closer to Him. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Okay. Behold. Yes. Let me just it's difficult to stand before you this morning. It would be much better just to stand and worship the Lord. Psalm 133 and on. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Okay, the first thing that we must grasp from this truth is that mountain of Zion is the church going forth and bringing the righteousness of God to a people who are hungering for the truth and have been taught the errors of God. It's the church going forth in warfare. It's the church going forth. It's a group of people going forth is what Mount Zion Top stands for. It's a group of people in a high realm in the Spirit. And they are going forth shooting arrows of righteousness to destroy the enemy. Hallelujah. That's what Mount Zion. And it says, it's this group of people who are coming together under the unity of the anointing that is covering them. Do you get this? It says it's coming on over their head, and they're like a priest. You and I are a royal priesthood. Hallelujah. And it's coming down over our head, dripping off the beard. That means that our lips are anointed, and it's covering us as the white robes of righteousness. And we are standing there ministering the righteousness of Jesus Christ, covered by the glory of the nature of Christ. And we don't see one another, but we see the anointing in each other. Oh, glory! Hallelujah! What a picture this is. And it comes from the anointing that destroys the yoke. Now hop over to Psalm 125:1. We need to understand this truth, because the anointing is our salvation. Don't misinterpret that. We are saved by the power of the blood through Jesus Christ and by grace. But when I say salvation, now I'm meaning survival. Okay? It's our defense. Okay? Look at Psalm 125:1. They that trust in the Lord. Trust means to have the faith of God. To be an obedient soldier. One who will not question the wisdom of God or the command of God. You and I are being trained through circumstances in our life and events that are happening in the world. Do you know why? so that we will march under the order of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and never once say, "Are you sure, God? I think I should do it this way." But instead, we will stand at command and say, "Thou art worthy to receive praise and glory. Here am I. Send me. Send me. I'm at the mercy seat of God. I'm in the holiest of holy places. And I hear your voice. And without a doubt, I will let the anointing flow from me where you want it to flow and no place else." That's perfection. We're not there yet. We're not there. But the Lord is bringing us to that point. And it says we shall be as Mount Zion. In other words, we're going to be used as a militant people with the nature of the Lamb. Completely the opposite of the world's method of going to war. They go into a hiding place in Fox Hills, and they use the H-bomb, and they secretly drop it. But the Lord, or whatever methods they use, you understand what I'm saying. But God's way is to very quietly, in spiritual warfare, have a people walking under the anointing, which comes from a high place at the top of Mount Zion, and ministering from there. And as they minister from there, they're above the realm of demonic activity. You see, when you dwell at the top of Mount Zion, you are completely under the covering of Jesus Christ, where powers and principalities cannot touch you. Your flesh is crucified unto God, or you couldn't dwell there, and powers and principalities can't stand the holiness, so they won't penetrate and go there. Hallelujah. And it's from there you will be, as verse 1 says, you cannot be removed. That means that Satan and his forces and the Antichrist system cannot move you. You will then be the sealed people. We're not going to teach on the sealed people, but I just want you to understand that's where the sealing of God comes in. It's being sealed with the Holy Spirit, being sealed with the anointing. Hallelujah. And so that you can do battle against the number of the beast system, which is 666, which amongst the many things stands for the selling out of the body and the soul and the spirit to the authority of Satan. Six being the number of man, surrendering his fullness unto the authority of the beast system. Okay? But you will be sealed by the beauty of the Holy Spirit from that. Hallelujah. And it says, and hang on to this, you abide forever. Abide means you are plopped. Hallelujah. There's no temporariness about the word abide. It has a permanency with it. Glory be to God. Okay. Now, the next thing, before we... Okay, turn with me to Romans chapter 5, verse 9. It is written in Romans 5, 9. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Okay, by the blood of Jesus Christ, the day you became born again, and if you would look at this outer court, the day that you came in here, Jesus came from here, his abiding place, and he came down here, and he stood at the gate right here, and he said, Would you receive me as your Savior and accept the Father draw him, it says, through Jesus Christ, which was here at the brazen altar, and they cannot come. And he called you, and you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you came in here, and you lived all around this tabernacle, and Jesus Christ became the focal point of your life. Isn't that right? And when you came through this gate and laid your life down at the brazen altar to deal with your original sin, you were just as if I never sinned because of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you and I. Hallelujah! Do you realize that our ugly past was washed away, done away with, we're set free forever from that? Glory be to God. The original sin, the breaking of the covenant that was done so in the Garden of Eden and the restoration, that process that we talked about that Abraham was called to start, we have then received the privilege of accepting it. Glory! Hallelujah. Oh, that's group one. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God hath anointed us to appointed us to wrath. Hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this interesting? By the blood of Jesus Christ, we've been made just as if we'd never sinned, so that we are not going to receive the wrath of God. But now the scripture says we are obtaining salvation, which is a process of growing into the delivering power of God, so that we will escape the wrath of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Okay. Now, who is going to receive the wrath of God? Look at Revelation chapter 19, verses 14 and 15. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We see the wrath of God coming forth via the vessel of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now look at chapter 20, verse 13 and 14. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. They were judged every man according to the works. But now, 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We're skipping over the wrath. Those who have escaped the wrath of God are those who are protected by the blood that have come through the first gate. The rest who have rejected, whose names are not written in the Lamb's book of life, are going to be subject to the outpouring of the wrath of God. Do you understand now? Okay. Now, we'll get into the message of Babylon with that understanding behind us. And I want to tell you the story of Joseph for just a minute, very briefly, so you can rest your fingers. The name Joseph means better days ahead. I'm taking a little bit of liberty, but not much. It carries the connotation of encouragement. It's a ministry of keep looking to the hope of the authority of perfection in Jesus Christ. All right? And Joseph, in his lifetime, wore three coats. The first coat was given to him by God the Father. And it was a coat of many colors. And a coat of many colors in 1 Samuel 13, the story of Absalom, it says, is symbolic of a coat of a virgin. Hallelujah. Okay, we need to understand that. So God the Father is giving Joseph a coat of many colors. And the coat of many colors stands for a virgin. And Joseph did not have laying on of hands, did not have a mighty visitation of God with reference to his ministry. However, it says that Joseph was an interpreter of dreams. Isn't that right? Okay. And if you study his life, it's so precious, we could spend the whole morning on that. Yes, Mom. And we would like to. Our flesh says yes, but the Spirit says no. And you'll find that Joseph's ministry of interpreting dreams got him in a lot of hot water, but it also was a tool that brought him in to the fullness of his ministry of ministering to others, which we'll see in a minute. Okay? Each of you have an anointed ministry birthed within you, the purpose for which you were born to be used by God. All else is sideline. All else is sideline. Get a hold of that. And if you don't know what your ministry is, I don't say this to put you down, but I say this to encourage you. Drop to your knees in a place of quietness and cry out until the quickening of the Holy Spirit of God points you to recognize the anointing ministry that you have within you, the authority of Christ that you have within you, the peculiar treasure that you carry within you that God wants you to be used for to this generation at this time on this particular day. Hallelujah. For it will create a peace that lives in your heart, that will give you the joy of the Lord, that will give you strength to stand in the battle. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. It's a principle of the kingdom of God. Existing in this world is a byproduct of the privilege of carrying the anointing of the ministry. But we've got it twisted. And the anointing of the ministry is the byproduct of existing in the world and trying to survive. Oh, if you and I can get a taste of the fact that Jesus will provide. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. No, He will provide for us in all areas if we will just focal and zero in on the fact that we've been assigned to build the kingdom of God under His authority as He would have it to be, not as we think it should be and not as man would dictate it to be. But if we would recognize, people, hear me, you are important to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you carry such a treasure. Let me just tell you something very quickly. You and I are waiting for each other to let the anointing flow. Do you know that? And we're cheating one another by holding back the anointing. Isn't that right? Salvation of souls is another byproduct. Because salvation of souls will become as Jesus, letting His anointed ministry flow. They flocked to get saved. And to be delivered, and to be set free, and to be healed. But that was a byproduct. What was His purpose? His purpose was to establish the kingdom of God. His purpose, we find starting at Gethsemane in reality, isn't that right? When He dropped to His knees, and when He surrendered His soul to God the Father and said, "Thy will be done, not mine." Hallelujah. Praise be to God. That's the coat of many colors. We'll see the Lord willing on time. It's never going to be. Okay, the second coat that He wore. Remember Potiphar's wife, or the Pharaoh's wife, and Joseph was pleasant to look at. When you have the anointing ministry flowing, you're going to be flocked by people, both good and bad. The anointing, as you carry it and let it flow, will gather people around you. And there'll be some Pharisees, some Sadducees, and there'll be some sincere followers. Be aware of that. And don't let the Pharisees and the Sadducees try to draw you away or draw you away. Instead, meet them. Joseph was wearing his everyday coat in the world. And Pharaoh's or Potiphar's wife said, "Joseph, you're such a handsome man. I lust after you." And I won't get graphic, you know what I mean. And she got him alone. And she presented herself unto him in such a way that spirits were ministering to him. A single young man, strong at the prime of his life. The flesh must have been certainly crying to a certain extent. I'm reading this into it, but I can see any good red-blooded young American boy that's confronted by a beautiful woman and who is in that situation, Satan is going to tempt him. There's not sin in the temptation. Jesus was tempted. It's the fleeing. Jesus was tempted in all areas so He could relate to you and I. And so Joseph, it says, he fleed and his coat was ripped from him. He shed his everyday living coat that he might keep the coat of many colors, even though it was taken from him when he was in the pit. And there are times in our life when we feel like the anointing is withdrawn from us because we're not used continuously. And certainly he wasn't dreaming dreams and visions and interpreting them when he was in prison and when he was sold as a slave at the start and when his brothers abandoned him in the pit and so forth. But then, as he came into the king's house and he ran from this woman, he was thrown back in prison again. This time, it was for being obedient unto the Lord. There's so much there. Okay, the third coat that he wore. His ministry came forth while he was in prison. In Revelation chapter 2, there's a church that is told to hang tight because you're going to be put in prison for 10 days, some of you. That's the time of the proving and testing of God. Again, we can't get into that this morning. And that's what happened to Joseph. His was a natural prison. That's spiritual prison. And as Joseph was in prison, he was forgotten about. And to show you how it wore on him, when the baker and the other man were sent, the butcher and the baker and the candlestick maker were sent, the butcher and the baker, I guess it was, were sent to go before Potiphar. He said to them, "Hey, tell the king I'm down here. He's forgotten me." Imagine the agony of carrying the anointing of what you have. Brother Phil, can you imagine the agony of being locked away from an instrument where you can express the beauty of the anointing you have? The torment that you go through, the aching. Can you imagine being called to preach or being called to teach or being called to minister just to one soul, and you know who that soul is, and being locked away from them, and all circumstances are such that you don't think you're ever going to be able to forget to them, and the aching from within? You know what you're going to start to do? You're going to start to travail. Travail puts the forces of the angels and the power of the Holy Spirit in action against the forces of the demons and Satan, and it breaks down the enemy walls so that the anointing can come forth. Hallelujah! What a beautiful thing that is. And so finally, a situation was allowed to arise in the life of the Pharaoh so that Joseph's anointing ministry, which was an interpreter of dreams, could be used. And he got to be used again. And this time, he was faithful to his ministry, and what happened? He was given authority over all the land. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords shall rule through his people. Hallelujah. And not only was that, but he was dressed in finest king's apparel. And will you or I rule as King and Kings of Lord of Lords in God's kingdom under the authority of Jesus Christ the King? We're going to be arrayed in the king's apparel, the robes of linen righteousness. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord. And what did Joseph do? He gave provision to those who threw him and turned on him, but they were family. They were his brothers in the Lord. You and I are the family of God. Let me quickly show you a truth, and then we'll get to more on Babylon. So Joseph came here and got his anointing. He went into the holy place, and he heard from the voice of God, and he received the interpretation of dreams here because his ministry was in effect. And as he got that interpretation of dreams, he got it because he went into the presence of God, which is this third room in here, and that's where the purity of God spoke to him, untouched by anything of human man, untouched by anything of human thought. The beauty of the holiness of God spoke to him, but now his brothers were out here, okay? And God said, "Go out and minister to your brothers. I'm going to give you provision." Hallelujah, to feed them and carry them through a time of famine. Praise be to God. This is where the overcomer or the first fruit company or whatever else label you want to put on it, these are the people that are escaping the great tribulation that are going to minister to those who are in that great tribulation that are out here that don't have the purity of God, who are not sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit right here. Hallelujah. It's because they have the king's garment on and they're ministering from Mount Zion. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Remember now, one-third, one-third, and one-third. That's going to be important as we get into this word. Oh, isn't God's plan for us so simple? Oh, thank you, Lord. Turn with me now to... Oh, you need to see one scripture, 2 Corinthians 11, 1-3. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. Would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you, what? As a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. So don't you see, the purpose of Paul to the church was to present them to Christ is a pure virgin. And there's a definite ministry of a virgin. And remember, a virgin wears a coat of many colors. And Paul says, if I don't minister to you that way, there is a subtle one called Satan who is waiting to deceive you so that you'll lose your virginity and that you will be stripped of your virginity and you'll not be as pure and holy before God the Father that you might go forth from Mount Zion. And that's what's happened to the church, and that's why Babylon is there today. Amen. Oh, this is so simple as we look at it. Now turn with me to Genesis. Chapter 9. The first thing that we want to look at is verse 22 and see a principle. Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. Now look at verse 25. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Because of sexual sin, rebellion, disobedience to the word of God that was written in his heart, he received a curse that could never be lifted. Okay? And it was a curse that was placed upon the descendants of Ham forever. And the curse says that eventually he is going to end up as a servant of servants. He's going to end up in complete submission. Now remember the scripture. Christ says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is going to be the fulfillment of this scripture. It's in the process of being fulfilled now, but it will be fulfilled at the time when every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Now let's trace Ham for a minute and look at verse 6 of chapter 10. And the sons of Ham, okay, Ham went and got married, and he had sons. And these are the names of them. Cush, Mizraim, miserable, I think, Phut, and Canaan. The one that I want you to pay attention to is Cush and Canaan. Now, look at verse 8. Now Cush is having children. Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and some other ones. But we want to look at Babel. Okay, now remember that in the back of your computer and go over to verse 15. And look at Canaan. And Canaan begat Sirdon, Heth, and now here's the ones that we're interested in. The Jebusite, the Amorite, the Girgashite, the Hivite, the Arkite, the Shenite, the Zemarite, the Hamathite, and afterward were the families of the Canaanites spread abroad. Okay, let me put this all together for you. The first thing we want to see is the ites that we just read about. The ites possessed the land that rightfully belonged to God's people. And the assignment of God was, they are an enemy, drive them off. When you do a study of the ites, you'll find that they represent the fullness of evil. Every fruit of the flesh that can be manifested, every devil that can be manifested, is represented in the ites. And let me tell you, when you study the wars of Israel, you'll see deliverance actually happening. And you can apply the methods of deliverance as the kings went under the guiding of God, and as David and Joshua went under the guiding of God against the ites, on how to work deliverance in many cases. This is too long of a study to take on in one session. Okay, but you got the... And they were out of the line of Ham, which was birthed in adultery and fornication, all right? Falling in that classification. Spiritual adultery, I'm talking about also. Now let's look at Nimrod. Now, and verse 10 says, one of his cities, or one of his places, was the kingdom of Babel. Now let's go over to chapter 11, verse 1. The whole earth was of one language and one speech. That tells us that they were united in communication. What is the one language that unites the family of God? It's the ministering of the Spirit and the spiritual worship to God the Father of praying in tongues. Isn't that right? There is a restoration coming. And it's coming right here, but its source is here in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Oh, there's much to be said for the gift and the overflowing of speaking in tongues. All right? And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, and so on. And verse 4 now. And they said, go to, let us build us a city, a tower whose top may reach into heaven, unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. The intention of their hearts now was that they wanted to get into a high realm. They wanted to be recognized with high powers that all might look at them. They wanted to build a kingdom for themselves. So they built a tower that would reach up into the heights of the heaven. And when they built the tower to reach up into the heights of the heaven, or the purpose of it was, so that they would make a name for themselves. So that they would edify themselves. Okay? And why did they do that? Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. They were afraid of being separated. There is strength in unity. There's anointing in unity. They sensed that truth, and they wanted to duplicate the anointing that comes from God. Now, let me just interject something here. What's happened in the church system is this. Man has come in. He's gotten saved. He's gone in and gotten filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. But he's not willing to pay the price of walking in purity in Christ Jesus at the golden altar here. This is where you surrender your will, your emotions, your desires. It's where you become as Jesus and you surrender your total soul to God. And you take the ministry that you have from within you. And you say, all that I have, God, it is yours unconditionally. I don't want to touch it. I don't want to build a tower to heaven with my name on it. But instead, I want you to build whatever it's going to be unconditionally. Okay, man has taken this anointing, a taste of the unity, and they've gotten beautiful presence of God, and along with it has brought goosebumps, good feelings, tears, joy, elevation, etc. But those are all emotional feelings. I can't find one paragraph in the Word of God that says evidence of God's presence is emotional feelings. No. My emotional feelings is the devil's playground area. And unless I keep my emotions up here, which is where my soul should be lifted up, I am subject to both the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of Satan and the voice of flesh. All right? And so the ministering here is not pure unless it comes from here. So it's crept into the church system. And the individuals taking the anointing that God has given them, the Christ in them, they know what it is. And they have put their hand to that ministry. And Satan has seen the opportunity and duplicates with familiar spirits the operation of the gifts of the Spirit in that second room. And when it goes on in that second room, then flesh works are born, and we have the system of Babylon being birthed. Okay, confusion is what Babylon means. Do you follow me? We need to be extremely careful. I'm never going to get into the teaching in Revelation. We're almost out of time. Okay, now let's continue on in Genesis. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the Lord says, he that hath an ear to hear what the Spirit hath to say, let him hear. The Lord visits the churches and says, I've come down to see what's in your churches, what's in you. And he's searching us. The description in Revelation chapter 1 of Jesus, his eyes are like fire and they're piercing us, going into our innermost being. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They all have all one language. This they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. You see, they've taken their ministry. And the Lord recognizes they've imagined it. Familiar spirits minister to the imagination of our hearts. That's where evil is. Isn't that right? We're open to the ministering of evil. So what did the Lord do? He scattered them. Well, first of all, in verse 7, go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad thence, from thence upon the face of all the earth. They left off to build the city. Therefore the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. I drew your attention to that so you'd understand one of the things that Babylon is. Babylon is man's efforts to become what God intended to do with his whole church. And God's efforts to restore the church are to bring them at one in communication with him at the golden altar, as they pass the golden altar to the mercy seat, which is where the angels are at, and the cherubim are there, and they're the ones that guard the gate. I'm going to shut this. It's no use. They're the ones that guard the gate to the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. And they're guarding the tree of life. What are they guarding with? The sword and the fire. And we can't go into the tree of life, which is eternal life, which we're going to eat of and which we partake of, until we go through the flaming sword, the gateway of the flaming sword. Hallelujah. And we pass through into the presence of God. That's the fire of the anointing and power of God. Hallelujah. And as we go in there, into that presence, we commune with God with a perfect unity. And the anointing that you have in you, the Christ that you have in you, you hear the voice of the Lord, and then we can stand with Jesus and say, I have not come to do my will, and I'll not move until the Father says, do it. Now, let me take just one more minute here, because, you see, my compassion is an emotion. Jesus had compassion. It's not bad. But my compassion is here, where I can waver between the Holy Spirit and myself. Isn't that right? And so I see someone that's sick. I see someone that's diseased. I see someone with a problem. And my compassion is to run to them immediately and exercise faith and what I believe to be the gifts of the Spirit in operation. But I've not heard the voice of the Lord. Or individuals come up and they say, you're a prophet. Would you give us a prophecy? And I say, that is entirely up to the Lord. I can't flip a switch on. I don't have the telephone line direct to heaven for that. Only he calls me. I can never call him. I can ask him. But we can't turn the switch on. And then they get mad. But the best answer is go home and pray and God will give you the answer. You know why people follow prophets? Too lazy to pray. Honest and truly. Don't take that as a dollar. Take that as an exhortation with love. And I'm not a prophet. It's just sometimes God uses us in that office. But then man gets tempted to use the gifts of the Spirit. He's been used of them. And then all kinds of satanic ministering spirits come under the influence of ESP and mind reading and astral projection and everything else that you can think of. I was thinking of Doc. And one of my dearest friends could tell you more about yourself than you care to know through that ESP. We were visited by a group of people that are a cult. They would stand before my wife and I and they would prophesy to us for a half an hour, tell us everything that was right. And I would say, God, this has got to be you. Then they would give us, they sent us to Washington, D.C., an expense-paid trip so we could hear the word of the Lord. And when they visited church, we rejoiced because the offerings would triple. I'd get a paycheck that week. And, you know, I mean, they knew how to appeal to us in all areas. And then one day, their downfall came and they walked into church and they told me, the Lord says, you're no longer the pastor of this group. And they walked over to another man and they said, you're going to be the pastor. And they started worshiping the woman that was the head of their group, and it's a big culty mess. But the story I want you to grasp is they ministered with great effectiveness, but I listened to Mom's spirit, but I didn't listen right. And she says they got a wrong spirit. And, of course,
A man's spirit doesn't hear as a woman's does. Husbands, we need to listen with care to our wives as they watch us and warn us. We need to flow together. And I was learning that experience. They tried to show me and everything. Oh, it was a sick experience. As we close, I wish next time we get together. But I want you to see something here. Babylon is when man puts his hand where it's in action. And it's confusion. And the confusion in the city of Babylon, or the spiritual Babylon, was put there by God. We just read it. And the purpose of it was to keep the church in such a state of confusion. I don't know if I understand fully what I'm saying, but hear me out. So that those who had rebellion in them could not come into the oneness with God. But those that knew that confusion was not of the Lord would press on out of the confusion, hear me now, thank you, Lord, and go on into the oneness with God, into the beauty of God, into His holiness. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Okay, now, you see, in the great tribulation period, God is, first of all, His wrath is going to come out here in the world. But here, He's going to press in through the great tribulation. And those that are out here, they're going to be brought to a point where they come to here or they die. As they are brought to a point where they come to here, the pressure is going to get greater. The fire is going to get hotter. And they're going to be pressed into here. Talking now of the Holy of Holies. They're going to be pressed from the outer court into the holy place. And as they're in the holy place, the tribulation time pouring forth of the great tribulation is going to be so strong, and the fire is going to be so hot on the individuals. And the Lord is going to say here, as He says in Revelation chapter 17, I believe it is, come out of her, Babylon, and flee from Babylon, and flee from the wrath and the winepress of the wrath that's going to be poured out on Babylon. See, confusion is going to be utterly destroyed. And we're going to be pressed in. The outer court's going to be gone. The holy place is going to be gone. And we're going to be on Mount Zion, which is right here. And this represents the New Jerusalem. And that's where we're going to live from forever and ever. Hallelujah! In the presence and the beauty of God. Oh, praise be to God. We've got at least 100 scriptures from Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Revelation to back up what we just shared. But we've already spent almost an hour. Gotten a little bit of taste of it. The last comment I'll make for this camp is this. When you go home, you read about the ministry of Cyrus. And the ministry of Cyrus is found Isaiah 44:28. Let's check that one out. Okay, 44:28 through 45. And on. And it talks about the ministry of Cyrus down through verse 4 and 5. The ministry of Cyrus is intercessory prayer. And the people that are called to the ministry of Cyrus are those that are in the most holy place, in the presence of God. And they're crying out for the family of God, their brothers and sisters that are in the outer court, that are in the holy place. And they're travailing, as Isaiah 28 says, and Revelation speaks of the travailing. They're travailing as if they're giving birth, and that's actually what's happening. The pain is so intense that they're giving birth to the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, and it's coming forth to be born again. Hallelujah. And to live and rule and reign with Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And that's exactly what Joseph did when he bore the coat of the king. He established and was given a home by the king's court in the finest land to give to his family. And he had complete forgiveness. And he said, one of his scriptures, he said to his brothers, he said, brothers, don't feel bad that you sold me into slavery. Without that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Thanks for the bubble gum that's not in my hair. See, Joseph See how the Lord just brings all things together this morning? See, Joseph found reason to be thankful. And because he was cleansed and pure in forgiveness, he had no bitterness. What's the theme of the convention then? Or the gathering? It has been forgiveness. Being set free, being pure, being brought into Christ. And Joseph was able to minister that forgiveness to those who came against his anointing. And he was faithful to his calling. And in the final end, he was one of the king's warriors that used his calling to minister to those. And he was able to say, I'm glad I went through that trial. And I have forgiven you. Here, let me feed you. I love you. Hallelujah. You see, there's a time when they're going to come into Mount Zion. And they're going to cry and they're going to say, we're sorry that we did what we did. We see the light and the life that you have. And you're going to be covered by the glory of the Lord. It says it'll be a defense and a covering to you. Hallelujah. And they're going to stand with me now. They're going to stand at the foot of Mount Zion. And they're going to be reaching out and see not you, but the glory of the Lord. And they're going to say, we want to come and enter into the presence of Mount Zion in the glory of the Lord. And you'll be used as teachers of the word in righteousness. And you'll teach it in truth. And the ministry that lives within you, the anointed Christ that's within you, will go forth from Mount Zion, whatever it is. You'll not be jealous of one another. Will not be concerned about one another's ministry, but it will flow as it should be, as God has ordained it to be. And they shall come unto Mount Zion and see the victory of Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah! Praise be to God. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we are a weary bunch in our souls, in our spirit, or in our flesh, but not in our soul and spirit. And I feel that you have said that's enough for today. And Lord, I pray that you would seal the words of truth, that they would be strength. I would pray that you would seal the spirit of intent, so there'd be no condemnation. I would pray, Lord, that you would break any soul ties that have been established in these meetings. And instead, Lord, I would ask that Christ would become so real to each of us here. The beauty of striving under the directions of the Commander-in-Chief to go forth in defeating the enemy and dwelling in your presence. That we might say it has been good to have been in the house of the Lord. Father, we pray for your blessings upon Glenn, Irma, Patty, Kevin, and all the workers here. Minister to them, God, and give them good rest, Lord, as they prepare for the next meetings. Lord, for the people that have come here expecting something else this morning, please minister to them that they might go home satisfied because you have visited them. We cannot turn something on that's not of you. Thank you for the privilege of coming together. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.